Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hayden. I'm working
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage, as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
All right, Chuck Bonneville, Julie Hayden here. We're going to have to reshoot our intro when I finish.
He flies on my tree.
But we'll worry about that later.
That's right.
True straight up. And we're brought to you by our good friends at Colorado Citizen Press.
ColoradoCitizenPress.com. It's Energetic Denver. And we want to point out we have a special guest appearance, our dog, Tiger.
Wonder Dog. German Warrior Pomeranian.
Look at her.
She's ready to jump in.
She looks like Joe Biden.
That quip brought to you by Dr. Brian Dundup. I'm happy to have him on as always. You know, you had a great column in American Thinker just a few days ago about why President Trump was going to the hospital. But now we want to bring you on and talk to you about why Donald Trump is going home from the hospital.
About an hour and a half from now.
your take on the whole thing?
Well, you know right who Brian Dundup is, huh?
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Brian Dundup is a wonderful genius, ophthalmologist. But writes for American Spectator and a lot of great, and we'd love to have him on. Some of the most intelligent.
He's on 710 KNUS all the time too.
He's on 710 KNUS from, well, never mind.
Oh.
I write a column for the Villager, local paper.
But you understand that the Glendale Cherokee Chronicle is a competitor of the Villager.
I understand. So
we leave that part out.
No, you can say that.
No, of course you can. But Brian, well, what do you think of this whole kind of, when the left is just going wild, Jennifer
Rubin at the Washington Post, her head is exploding.
Her head exploded back in 2016, and it's just getting worse. She's one of these never Trumpers that are just totally unhinged.
Never a Republican to begin with. They brought her in as a quote unquote conservative when she really wasn't a conservative. But now she's gone far, far left. So it's her far, far left conservative.
She's one of these never Trumpers that's endorsing Biden.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
There's nothing to advance the conservative agenda like the Green New Deal, Medicare for all, raising taxes, repealing the Second Amendment, stacking the Supreme Court, open borders.
Right.
I mean,
all
everything these people. Everything these people have been fighting for in their newsletters and think tanks and cruises and everything, all the Bill Kristols and Max Boots and all these people, they're getting everything they've wanted for their entire political careers, and now they're against it.
Right.
And they're endorsing a far-left administration.
You find out that writers are often no insult to you, but no different than politicians. If it fits their financial scheme, then they're all of a sudden against everything they were before.
I think it's more than financial. I think they're really pouting because they don't have a home anymore. Trump has no use for them. He does not ask them. He doesn't want their advice. He doesn't want their wise counsel. So they don't have a home in Trump's Republican Party. And the Democrats use them as useful idiots.
Right.
They're not going to be part of a Democrat administration other than to throw stones at Trump and help them further their agenda.
Well,
so they're really without a home.
Bill Kristol's site, The Bulk Work, which he has his own, it is all paid for by lefties. Funded by lefties.
Well, that's jump two, though. The news of the day, Chuck.
News of the day, Julie.
Donald Trump going home. If you read Jennifer Rubin and all those people, everyone's now going to die in Washington, D.C. because he's emerged from, if they didn't already, because of the little parade rally thing. I mean, you're a doctor. Trump going home. To me, it sounds like that's a pretty typical thing when the hospital's like, hey, look, you know, you're fine. We can't do anything more for you here.
They usually kick you out these days.
Yeah,
he's lucky to have been admitted. If that was you or me, we probably would not get admitted to the hospital. You know, his oxygen saturation maybe dropped to 93 or 94. I have one of these little finger things. I check mine occasionally, and sometimes it's 93. I'm fine.
Yeah.
It fluctuates. And he had symptoms, at least as described, of a cold. Yes, he tested positive, and he's the president. They can't afford to have him getting sick in the White House. The White House is not equipped to care for somebody that gets sick rapidly. And with COVID, people can turn sour very quickly. You're fine 1 minute, and then an hour later, you can't breathe, and you're intubated. Well, out of precaution, he belongs in the hospital. He's the president. And they probably wanted him out of the White House, quarantined, and where they could watch him closely. He's a very special patient. He's not you or me.
They gave him the choice of staying, you know, at a dedicated room and seeing nobody and doing nothing, and he wouldn't know.
Well, and so then what do we make of him going back? I mean, just explain to folks with COVID, can you get better? Then all of a sudden you relapse. I mean, my guess is they're not letting him go home because it would look bad to have to readmit him unless they're pretty sure he's so pretty much, you know, that he's okay. What do you think?
I'm sure he's better and he's trending in the right direction, and they're happy that he can recuperate the rest of the way. He's already had several therapeutics. He's probably not having any fever, shortness of breath. His oxygen saturation is likely good. And for all we know, he could have tested negative. I mean, his positive test was several days ago. Sometimes the virus lingers, sometimes it doesn't. It depends what kind of test they're using. But it's their medical judgment. It's not, you know, family doctor deciding, yeah, you look good. This is a medical team of Walter Reed, Hopkins is involved. These are top physicians, and they're making a reasoned decision, tailoring it to the patient. It's about the patient.
Right.
Well, I love the reporters who interview the doctors, and all saying they're just yapping and snapping and panicking.
What are his chest X-ray findings? What did his CT show? You know, what else do they want to know? What his potassium is? I mean, come on.
Well, here's the thing that I think that this is the real reason that they hate this, right? Because Donald Trump got it. And the reality is Donald Trump's experience with COVID is fairly typical, right? I mean, when you look at
somebody his age.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. And they want all of us to believe that if you test positive for COVID, it's a death sentence for you and anyone who you've ever met or is even on your Facebook page friends as a friend, right? I mean, it's a death sentence, death sentence, death sentence. And here you got, you know, Donald Trump with COVID getting more done from his hospital room than Joe Biden has gotten done in 47 years. I mean, that completely wrecks their narrative that this is a survivable flu.
Yeah, you go in Friday, you get cashiered out on Monday.
His chance of survival when he tested positive was like 99.95% or some ridiculously high number.
Right.
But out of an abundance of precaution, they brought him to the hospital. Plus, he's getting therapeutics. He's getting this double antibody therapy from Regeneron. And you know, these things can have side effects.
Right.
And better to have side effects in the hospital rather than the White House. And then, you know, they're bringing doctors in and taking him out. And that you know, the world is watching this.
Right. And it's interesting.
This is not, you know, your neighbor getting sick and going and, you know, the neighbors look. This is the entire world. This is Russia, China, Iran, North Korea. Everybody's watching what's going on.
Yeah,
there's an obligation to, you know, be circumspect about what you say.
Yeah, Melania is 30 years younger, and she hasn't had to be admitted
anywhere.
Seems
like very few. She said she's feeling fine, pretty much.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's
Kayleigh McEnany feeling fine. Oh, let me ask you about this then, too, in terms of the way it's transmitted. You would think that Donald Trump infected the entire freaking free world, but then we learned that actually there were three White House journalists who had tested positive who were on the plane. So, I mean, I'm assuming, Dr. Jundep, that the virus isn't only infects Republicans and jumps from Republicans to everybody else. I mean, there's absolutely no reason why those White House correspondents couldn't have given it to Kayleigh McEnany and the president, right? I mean, you can't conclude that because Trump announced it first that he gave it to, I mean, he got it from somebody, right?
Well, sure. I mean, everybody gets it from somebody else. And he was not, he didn't get it de novo. He didn't get it from his rallies because he's on the stage, despite the camera angle, he's not anywhere near people. There's a big gap between the bleachers behind him and the seats in front of him. It looks like he's right there, but he's not. He can't reach out and touch those people. Nobody gets near him without a test.
Right.
So somehow, yeah, maybe the White House press corps. And then you wonder why it's just Republicans that have gotten sick. Remember, Nancy Pelosi 2 weeks ago said she's got arrows in her quiver.
Yeah, there you go.
That's right. I think Jennifer Rubin coughed on him or something
What did she mean by that? That's an interesting phrase to say a couple weeks before. Well, probably a week before.
Right. Well, I think conspiracy theories abound. I know I have a liberal friend who keeps thinking that Donald Trump deliberately got this to show that it was survivable. And I'm kind of like, and what's the problem with that? Mm-hmm. What's the problem that if Donald Trump would deliberately infect himself, doesn't that even tell you something? They just don't want us to know, Brian, that this is a survivable flu, basically.
Right. This for most people, this is a cold or a flu. And the people that get really sick, yes, many of them have risk factors. They're older, they have other medical problems. Occasionally, there are people that get sick that don't have those, and we don't know why. They're young people that get the flu, the seasonal flu, and get very sick and die from it every year. And maybe it's genetics, who knows what, but for whatever reason, there are people that will get very sick from it.
But
most don't.
Right, and that's to be... Well, that's to be expected, and we, so you know, every flu season there are people who die from the flu. In fact, as we've said before, flu is called the old man's savior.
That's correct.
In that, you know, you don't have to go to the last day an agonizing death. It just polishes off part of the population that is ready to go within the next 6 months anyway.
Do you think that if Donald Trump was not president running for re-election, that this would have been treated the same way?
No.
Well, it would have been different because the way that China did. I mean, China had him falling dead in the streets, which sounds like the bubonic plague or at least the 1919 Spanish influenza. There's nobody dying in the streets. Well, what was that dying in the streets kind of thing? I don't know.
I had a lot of questions about China.
If this was Hillary Clinton in her first year of her term, They wouldn't have banned travel. They wouldn't have closed anything. There wouldn't be mask mandates.
Right.
It would be treated like Obama treated the swine flu during his term. You know, everybody went about their business and there were warnings, but it ran through the population. What this also shows is that you
swine flu. Yeah.
You can run, but you can't hide from this virus. So Trump, despite being the most protected human being in the world, can still get it. The virus is going to run through its population, and they've protected the White House and they've done a pretty good job, but sooner or later it's going to get there. It's New Zealand. New Zealand was, they had a few cases, they closed the borders and they went a little over 100 days. And they were patting themselves on the back of how great they did and they eradicated it. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Then they have cases. So the virus does what the virus does. It's going to work its way through the population till it infects enough people and then it goes away. That's what viruses do. And if you lock down and quarantine and do everything else, you're just delaying it. You're flattening the curve, and that's to not overwhelm the system. And that's what we were doing in March and April. The system wasn't overwhelmed.
We're also putting them on ventilators, which killed them.
Right. Well, you know what it is? It's like Donald Trump tweeting today, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. He's like, I've been to the COVID school, the real school, not the theoretical school, not the book school. I've had it. I know what I'm talking about. And that gets to my other point, too, that I wanted to ask you about. If, again, the mainstream media, they make it sound like every positive test, it's a death sentence, and it's horrible, and it's a failure. But, did we just, did herd immunity suddenly go out the window? I mean, it seems to me that the way the virus, like any virus, dies is like you said, it kind of goes through the population. Kind of explain how that works.
Well, there are two tests they're doing. One is a PCR test, and that takes viral fragments and amplifies them. And the current tests amplify it so much that if a person has a couple of dead virus fragments in their nose, they'll test positive.
Right.
It does not mean they're infectious or contagious or symptomatic. And the New York Times even acknowledged that.
Right.
The antigen test is if you have enough to trigger the test, then those people are more likely to be contagious. So it's how sensitive. I equate it to a burglar alarm. If you have a burglar alarm that's going to go off when a rabbit crosses your front lawn, Yeah, that'll tell you if you have an intruder, but you're going to get lots of false positives. And what the media is doing is equating positive tests with cases.
Yeah.
And according to the CDC, there's a very strict definition of case. It's a positive test, but you have to have symptoms as well, or you have to be, you know, heavily exposed or from a hot zone. You right. can't just have a positive test. A single high blood sugar reading doesn't make you a diabetic.
No. Well, you know, I was at an event over the weekend with a bunch of people who are paramedics and first responders, right? And none of them were wearing masks. None of them were social distancing. They deal with this every day. And they were saying at first it was pretty stressful and they were very worried. And then basically they said the more they saw, they realized, because they're all young, that one of them out of this whole group, only one person actually did get COVID-19 and test positive. But they were like, it'd be like a 2-week vacation.
They gave you 2 weeks off.
Well, that's what I mean. They said if they were to get it, they realize that no, it's not that dangerous. It's, you know, again, for most people, it's more like a cold or a worst case, the flu. Maybe not worst case, but in many cases, the flu.
Well, there are risks involved. If you go skiing, there's a risk. You could fall and break your neck or ski into a tree. Everything in life has inherent risk. And people are making these decisions of what's the risk-benefit ratio.
Right.
And as a society, we've, I think, gone overboard in terms of closing down businesses and quarantining people and staying home and ignoring the costs of that. Everything has a cost to it. It's like a side effect of the treatment. And you've got depression and suicide and drug abuse and domestic violence and all these unintended consequences of shutting down the economy for months.
Right.
And then New York, they're shutting down again.
Right.
Well, New York is over this. New York had a very steep curve. They got over it, you know, by May.
What in the world is there to shut down?
Yeah, there's
New York
nothing
City.
Left of shutting down downtown Denver.
Shut down crime, maybe.
Yeah, shut down crime. I mean, New York is insane. You know, the governor and the mayor have been a disgrace, and they helped kill people in nursing homes effectively. Mm-hmm. And they continue just to, as the economy V-shapes,
rebounding, stock market's up again.
And you kind of wonder what it'd be like if California, New York, Illinois, and all that, Michigan weren't shut down. I mean, it's an amazing thing. And it's fun to watch the mainstream news.
And they're destroying their own cities out of spite. They're letting the rioters look at Portland, Seattle, and what's happened to those cities.
Right. Well, look at Denver.
Yeah.
Go to downtown Denver. Yeah.
Yeah. What about political implications? Like we were saying before, what I've noticed is, you know, polls aside, and we can talk about some polls in a second here, but when you talk to Republicans about this, while they were worried about Donald Trump and they're glad he's doing better, they're kind of happy. Maybe that's too strong a word, but Democrats are definitely very crabby about that. And the way I read that is, this is good for Trump and good for his chances for reelection. It demonstrates, and it couldn't be much clearer, but just like he said, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. They've been trying to convince us all we're going to be killed. I mean, what's your political take on it?
Well, you watch how they act to see whether they're confident or not. So after the debate last week, the Democrats and the media, one and the same, they all said, oh, Biden won, but he shouldn't have any more debates.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't jive. If Biden won and was so good, they'd say, let's have 6 more debates. Let's have 2 a week because Joe is so good and he's crushing Trump and it's great. But they're worried. Joe is finally starting a ground game after not doing it.
Right.
If they believe the polls that say, you know, oh, he's got a 15-point lead. Well, so did Hillary Clinton exactly 4 years ago.
Right.
She had a 90% chance of winning on the evening of Election Day, according to the New York Times and Huffington Post and those things. And they're repeating the same mistakes. They don't act confident.
No.
And well, I think their internal polling is telling them
good point.
Far different than the CNN and Wall Street Journal polls.
That's a good point, which is why I think on this day, where the day that you have Trump, you know, coming home from the hospital, and Joe Biden had called the lid on his campaign pretty much the entire weekend, is now traveling to Florida. I think they would not be sending Joe Biden to Florida if they weren't worried, right? If they thought, oh, we really have a 50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, if they were confident and him staying in his basement and you know, popping his head out for 20 minutes every morning, if that was a winning strategy, why wouldn't they keep doing it?
Right.
We're talking to Dr. Brian Jundep, one of our great analysis guys. And it's just, I don't know. It's other than the polls, all I feel is positive. I know it's anecdotal, but I you know, the enthusiasm for Trump is sky high. The people who really just love Trump is sky high. I've never met anything like it. You know, if I call somebody as a PCP, you know, get me a sign. Now the polls are in some cases, as you pointed out, there was one, I think just the other day by the Wall Street Journal and someone else, it was 15 points nationally. That's an utter rout. I mean, that's
that's because they're asking Jennifer Rubin and her friends.
Well, they oversampled Democrats. That's a fault of these polls, that they're probably oversampling Democrats by 15 points.
Right.
But the interesting, Gallup ran a poll of who do you favor? Biden came out, and then it was who do you think will win? And Trump won that by, I don't know, 14 points, 15 points. So that's, you know, it's like saying the Broncos are playing New England in the Super Bowl, and, you know, New England's had a great season and Brady's on his game. Who do you want to win? Denver people say the Broncos. Who do you think will win? And if you're honest, you say New England's going to win.
Right.
They always win the big game.
Well, here's a remark from Mark. The governor and the mayor are the only ones making decisions in Colorado.
Good point.
Not rational people or MDs. When is this over? Isn't the medical profession going to take a hit for not speaking out? Dr. Jundep, you are the only one I know in Colorado that's speaking out. Thanks.
There you go.
There are a few of us, but the medical profession is quite liberal, as I've learned.
Yeah. Well, and then I had retweeted something about that Tucker Carlson had been talking about, and Facebook like banned me. They said that I was spreading fake news, right? They said they had taken down the post, that it was fake news. So yeah, if you don't toe the liberal progressive line, no matter what industry you're in, they do everything they can to get you banned. Back to the poll though, I think what was kind of funny is there was a similar poll where, and I forget which one it was, but they said that the majority of people thought their neighbors were going to vote for Trump. So I'm kind of like, well, wait a minute. Who, you know, all these people are like, oh, no, I'm not going to vote for Trump, but my neighbors are, mm-hmm. and all of them are. I mean, clearly, and I think you hit it on the head there, Brian, that their internal polling, if they've got Joe Biden going to, you know, Florida, if they're saying, oh, yeah, he's going to be in another debate, they must have internal polling that has them worried, I think.
And it's Trump, I don't see any desperation out of their camp. Yeah. They're mm-hmm. doing everything they normally do. He's going to start having rallies again, probably in the week, and it's going to be.
I think the rallies are going to be sky high themselves. Can you imagine?
He'll do two or three a day, like he did last cycle.
And he'll
across the country and do them, and he's drawing, you know, 20,000-30,000 people to his rally. You look at a Biden speech and it's in somebody's backyard.
Right. There were like 10 people. There was another one they showed where there were more reporters than anybody else for Jill Biden. Well, let me ask you this in terms of, because they're going to freak out and say Trump is now killing people and he was acting irrationally. How long is he contagious? And can they determine that?
Well, they recommend quarantine. I think the figure now is 10 days, but the CDC changes its mind weekly on everything. So
yeah. 10 days from when? 10 days.
Yeah, take that with a grain of salt.
But when does it begin? When does the 10 days begin?
Probably from when he was showing symptoms. So
that vague on that too. Yeah.
Good part of last week. So probably by the end of this week, and he'll get the green light from his doctors and he'll be out. In the meantime, he'll be in the White House and, you know, he won't be having the press conferences. My question is, if three White House reporters tested positive, then the entire White House press corps should be quarantined for 10 days.
Exactly. I think so, too. Well, they can't.
Permanently.
Well, they're all trying.
They all should be quarantined permanently.
That's what drives me crazy.
Acosta needs to go into quarantine and we shouldn't be seeing him for you know,
Marcus said yes. It's just October. Well, talk about Trump being irresponsible. What about, was Chris Cuomo irresponsible? I mean,
he was.
It's somehow they make it seem like because it's Trump, if you test positive for coronavirus, it's somehow because you're immoral, you're depraved, and you're trying to kill people, right? Whereas if you're a Democrat and you get COVID, then Trump gave it to you somehow. I mean, it's just ridiculous. And I think that's turning around and biting him. I think you've got Trump surviving. They've been trying to scare us all to death. Even if it's true, like you said, people get used to risks after a while, and people start to go on with their own lives. And the more they do that, the more people realize, well, wait a minute, what if I do get coronavirus? I mean, it's, you know, that doesn't, you know what I mean? Maybe I'll get a little sick. I mean, it's just not that scary.
People are just tuning out the media because Republicans have been killing people for decades. You know, Paul Ryan was pushing Granny off the cliff, and George Bush was killing people, and, you know, Reagan was feeding, or, you know, taking food from the homeless in Lafayette Park, and it goes on and on. And I think people are just tuning out the media because it's fear mongering and it's nonsense.
Right.
Even Fox News. Fox News has become very difficult.
I mean, with John Roberts, we played that clip the other day.
He
had that meltdown. Embarrassing. Chris Wallace had a little bit of a meltdown on Sunday when he got pushed back.
Chris Wallace asked the exact same thing at a debate 4 years ago, asked and answered, and he's repeating it. John Roberts asked the same thing a week ago, asked and answered, and they're just trying to make a story.
Right.
They're trying to make the story about themselves.
Right, right.
And they're embarrassing.
And people don't watch, or if they watch, they don't pay attention anymore.
Well, some people do. I mean, the Democrats, you know, listen to what they want to listen to. But I think their ability and their time when they could influence nonpartisans is over. I mean, they're no longer viewed as anything to do with objective reality, even by people who are not particularly.
There's too many alternative sources. There's talk radio, you guys on the internet, blogs, etc., where people can tune in and get a more reasoned discussion of things.
Right. Well, let me just a few more questions for you. I know the other day, initially after the debate, Chuck was kind of depressed, but then he cheered up the next day, the more he kind of thought about it. And then initially when he was reading that Hope Hicks was testing positive, you were depressed. But then again, the more you looked at it, I think Trump has this bizarre, Wayne Allen Root had a column about this today, a bizarre ability to turn lemons into lemonade and to somehow, you know what I mean? He goes through, it's like in the movies that I watch, Fast and Furious, they go through the fire and I'm saying, boom, he comes out at the other end and he's just fine. Mm-hmm. And I think we're seeing that again.
Oh, I do too. I think the debate was really to shore up his base. It wasn't to convince undecideds. I don't think there are many undecideds. Yeah. If you look at Rasmussen's poll, there may be 5% that are undecided when they poll likely voters. Trump's goal at the debate was to shore up his base and show that he's fighting and that he's still a fighter and not your typical Republican that gets elected. And they're, you know, John McCain, and he's for the border and he's for this, that, and the other. And, you know, the day after election, he becomes a liberal again until he's up for reelection.
Well, there are
too many Republicans that do that. And Trump was showing his base that he's still fighting and that he's pushing back against the media and the Democrats. Well, and I think that's what his base wanted to see.
Yeah,
I've done debates since I was in seventh grade, and that's not what you want to do in a debate. But Donald Trump plays by a different rule book.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't matter whether those answers were the better answers he could have given and that he gave up lots of opportunities and so forth. He's just Donald Trump. It's like his tweeting.
That's right.
You eventually just accept his tweeting is his tweeting.
Well, and then he gets COVID and everything. Well, no one's talking about the debate anymore.
I think he's going to come out of this COVID thing starting at 4:30 today.
Yeah, in an hour.
Mountain daylight time. And he's just going to come out roaring. I mean,
he's going to show that he beat this and that it's not a death sentence. He's going to turn it to his advantage.
Right. Exactly.
Well, Brian, so great to talk to you.
Thank you.
For hours, and love to having you with us. Thanks. And we'll be talking to you soon.
All right. Sounds good. Bye, guys.
All right. Thank
you. Take care.
Brian Dundep, guy, you can check him out. He's all over the place. The Villager. I read him all the time in American Thinker. We're going to talk to, coming up, it's kind of a local thing, but it's local that applies nationally. Joanne Winholtz, who's the chairperson of the Adams County Republicans, has sent a letter to Congressman Ken Butt, the chairman of the state Republican Party, quote, concerning the huge potential for voter fraud in Adams County nursing homes. Chuck, you've been talking about this forever.
Yes.
And this is something that I think people need to be aware of nationwide. This is not just going on in Adams County.
Statewide, certainly, and nationwide.
Well, yeah, when she talks about the changes between this year and next and the precautions and sort of the safety nets that used to be in place at nursing homes, they're all gone this year. And so we want to, if we could get her on the phone.
Well, they were all gone in 2018 also, quite frankly.
Right. Thomas, if we could give Joanne a call, but you want to take a moment to talk about Synergenics?
Yeah, Synergenics is just a wonderful program to get you to so that you feel younger. I mean, whatever your biological age is, how do you get to feel the best that could possibly be? And it's really not that hard. You've got things that are doing great, you know, and you got some things that are not doing so great that hold you back. Well, you're not going to be able to test yourself. So go to some pros at Synergenics, see where you're doing well, see where you're not doing quite so well, and how to take those where you're not doing so well and get them back to the great category. And you know, one of those is your weight. I mean, the president was
I think kind of unfairly they called him morbidly obese.
I don't think he's morbidly obese. I think he's overweight though. But you don't even want to be that. And certainly I've been on, you know, I was overweight. Maybe I was morbidly obese. I don't view myself that way, but maybe I was. I weighed 300 pounds. So as of this morning, 255.
Yay for you.
Yay for me. And I'm going to keep on going down on this little tranche. I'm trying to get down to 239, take a holiday, Thanksgiving, Christmas off, but maintaining my weight in the beginning of the year, get down to my weight when I was playing a lot of athletics in school of 215 to 220. And it's, you know, she makes it easy. We're doing a comparison test. Julia's the placebo sort of, if you just did the usual.
I have not lost.
It's
like
my usual
diet.
Right. You're 1 pound, you know, you've been at it a month and you're starving all the time and you can't go, how can I lose just a pound? But that's, you know, you got to go on a program, you need medical. And when you go through one with Dr. Julie McCallum, she's there with you every day.
Mark
is
saying outstanding. Here, tell them how to get
home. Well, okay. You can call Julie at 720, Julie McCallum, Callin. 720-387-3681. And tell her Chuck and Julie sent you. You got a free consultation or just go to the website, Synergenics, Cenegenics. It'll be the best thing you ever did.
All right. All right. So let's go now to Joanne Winholtz. She is the chairperson of the Adams County Republican Party, doing, by the way, Joanne, I think just a great job. So first off, this is kind of short notice, so I appreciate you taking the time and making time for us today.
Well, thank you very much. I was really pleased that you got back to me so quickly. I thank you for that.
Well, okay. So again, you send, as I said right before, you send a letter to the Republican Party chairperson in Colorado, Congressman Ken Buck, concerning the huge potential for voter fraud in Adams County nursing homes. Rather than me go through it, why don't you maybe explain like how it has been, how COVID has affected this, and what your big concerns are.
Well, my big concern basically started because on church on Sundays, we take the Holy Eucharist over to a nursing home, and a lot of those folks do not respond, or they're asleep, or there's folks that are doing quite well. So when all of this COVID happened, we all know that, I mean, everything was shut down. Nobody could go and especially check on these dear folks, and nor family, nor anybody.
Right.
And so lo and behold, now probably the most of these folks, because they're older, are registered to vote, and they're going to get a ballot.
Yeah.
And since they're at a nursing home, that's the address that they have. And so we found out that Adams County, I don't know what other counties are doing, but Adams County are just going to take the number of ballots that are needed at that home and drop them off, and it's up to the director of that facility to see that these folks vote. Now, in the past, there was at least one election judge and a watcher that could go into the room with, you know, with a client or
patient,
citizen, voting voter there. And so they, if there was any questions or where they should sign or whatever, they could show them. And they could not, of course, tell them how to vote, but to make sure they, you know, at least saw or tried to understand what they were doing. Well, right. This year, this is not happening. We have no idea who's going to take these ballots to these folks and who's going to sign them. Right. And some of these folks have, you know, guardians and conservators that should know what's going on.
Right. But, well, it seems to me, and Chuck, you've long railed on this, but you've talked about just the Alzheimer's patients. Here, you could have people who are perfectly capable of filling out their ballot. But Joanne, you're saying that they're not necessarily going to mail the ballot to the individual person. They're just going to say, okay, there are 84 people in this nursing home, so we're going to give you 84 ballots. That's how they're going to do it?
Evidently, yes.
Well, I know on the Democratic side, there are major payments to the heads of these facilities to quote unquote get out the vote. But they come from the Democratic Party to quote unquote get out the vote. And the last election, 2018, we had people who worked at these nursing homes saying
us.
The directors and staff were rigging the entire one, you know, 84, 100, 200 votes. I mean, it was an absolute scandal. And of course, you know, you reported to the DA of a Democratic county. And nothing's done.
Jenna Griswold. She's trying to get dead people
as they come.
To vote.
So
right.
I was thrilled that you wrote this letter because it's really needed. And Ken Buck needs to come back here, or somebody needs to come back here and organize everything. Get some of these guardians who threaten the directors that if you get my wife or my mother or somebody to vote in a way that's absolutely, I know, is contrary to their wishes, and you do anything that's wrong, we're suing you.
Right.
And we've got to go after these people.
Because the families,
they'll cheat all over it.
Because the families, as I understand it, can't necessarily get in and help them vote either.
Well, of course they can. It's what are you trying to say? Of course they can help them vote.
No, they can't get in to see them in some of the nursing homes. You have to make
right.
a point.
Right. Correct.
But that doesn't
mean COVID says they're locked down. They're still locked down.
But there is nothing prohibits in the law saying for somebody to come up to somebody with an absentee ballot and saying, oh, no. You know, you want to vote for Joe Biden. And these Democrats really help you here in our facility. That is totally, there's there is nothing that prevents that. Wait a minute. People think that, I think Joanne indicated, well, you can't tell them how they vote. Yes, you can. There's nothing to prevent somebody from telling somebody who's got their ballot out how to vote.
Well,
it's what's allowed that is so shocking. Not what's illegal, but what it's allowed.
Well,
they can certainly tell people how to vote.
Well, and it sounds like, Joanne, what you're saying is a couple of things. Number one, because they're locked down, where normally somebody might rely on, say, their daughter or their son to help them vote. That can't happen now. And right now, all they're doing is they're giving the stack of ballots to the director and saying, okay, we'll be back Tuesday to get all these ballots. I mean, that's basically the procedure in Adams County right now.
Exactly. And yes, there is a line there that says this is the person that helped them sign, you know, or fill out their ballot. And so someone signs it. But, you know, there is no way to prove that voter actually did vote.
Right. It's just what you said.
Yeah.
That's perfectly legal. Well, you know, you point out a couple things in your letter.
Let me point out one other thing. In Adams County, they took all these votes and they held them back until, I don't know, 5 or 6 o'clock on election day. And in Adams County, as Joanne well knows, up until those massive ones came in, Republicans were ahead for sheriff, they were ahead for county clerk and recorder and other positions. And when those phony ballots came in, they just overwhelmed every Republican in statewide office.
And there are 18 such facilities in Adams.
Yeah.
So, this is exactly what happened and what will happen again.
Well, and as you said, number one, the whole voting thing aside, you're absolutely right. This should be considered elder abuse, right? I mean, they're taking advantage of people. And here's another thing. We tend to focus so much on the presidential election. You're like, okay, well, what's, 18 nursing homes in Adams County? Okay, maybe it's not going to have necessarily a giant impact in the presidential election, but in the countywide elections, it has a massive, it could have a massive impact no matter what county you're in, right? And again, just look at what the county health departments have done to our economies, and you can see why voting local is so important.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what, and like Chuck was saying, what happened to us in 18, we got just crushed. And we lost a huge amount of confidence and ability of very, very good people. And so when all of this, this started all of a sudden coming together and realizing what we were up against more so than even before.
Right.
A lot of folks were really alarmed.
Right. Right.
And I don't think, unfortunately, Ken Buck has any resources to prevent it. I mean, he's in Washington. They'll go, oh yeah, we have safeguards when they don't have any. And there is no, I mean, it ought to be a statewide one in which we send people out, send letters. I don't know, hire these directors. They're usually Democrats, by the way, almost all of them, to get out the vote for the Republican side. I mean, you're absolutely right, Joan. I don't know how to stop it, though. I don't know what Ken Buck is
going
to do.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, well, I did get a response from the via Ken and the state GOP office,
okay.
And I haven't talked to them yet, so I'm going to and see what, if there is anything that we can do. Or see, supposedly when they drop the ballots off, the county will go back and pick them up.
Whoopee!
And we're trying to get enough watchers to
right.
at least observe that they're being picked back up and taken back to
right.
the county
but
office.
You know, good. They've rigged it before they pick it up. It's rigged at the facility. It's rigged.
Oh, I know it is. Yes.
Right.
So that's what you got to stop. Okay, the director and all the staff who if you're in that field, you're a Democrat, who get all the people to vote Democrat all the way down the line, and then they take the 84 ballots and hand it to somebody. Yay,
well,
we're safe.
I know. It's well, you're right. It's now it's frustrating. Chad, now I'm depressed again. Now I'm depressed. Well, but Joanne, thank you for calling attention
to
this.
Thank you.
Because, I don't know what is going on in the other counties.
Same thing.
It's not just in Colorado, but I got to imagine all over the place, right?
Yes.
This is why, and this is the other reason why, you were talking about having watchers, where you can see the Democrats now are saying, oh, that's intimidation to have watchers. And they're saying, don't let Trump scare you with his watchers. That's just another attempt to make sure that their fraudulent voting goes undetected.
Everybody should contact their parents by thing and say when the director or the assistant to the assistant comes in, record them.
Yeah.
Tell them what they tell you. Record them.
Well,
yeah,
they could.
That would happen.
Of course they can. Just take out your phone and bam.
My mom could not have recorded anything.
Well, some can. And
well, and then we found out that the election judges, they're more than they know what to do with this year. And of course, most of them are Democrats. So
yeah.
I got the list. Yep. Here we go. So,
all right. Well,
thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank
Great
you for
job,
calling.
Joanne. Great
yeah,
job.
Good job. Keep it up. Keep us posted
okay.
too. Okay. Mark,
I appreciate it.
Thank you. That's Joanne Winholds, Adams County Republican chairperson. Mark is saying let Cory Gardner know he's starting to fight. Yeah, but I mean, that's the danger of this.
Sure.
I mean, keep in mind, not just to destroy the economy, but this is another reason why I think it is important that Donald Trump has made such a quick recovery and has been, God bless him, so out there saying, I'm fine. Here I am. I'm fine. I was sick. I took these measures. Now I'm fine. Because the Democrats they need to keep us all locked down. The last thing they want is for nursing homes to be open, right, Chuck? So like you
they're
said,
they're not going to be open.
So, I know, but they need to keep everybody locked down. They need to keep us all scared.
I got it, but they're doing it right now.
Well, I understand. That's what I'm saying.
I understand that, the frustration that Joanne must have, and I'm sure this is the frustration that Ken Buck must have. What can he do? And I suggest the only thing you can do is go into court, try to get a mandatory injunction out. There's some kind of, and of course, you're going to Democrat
right.
judges.
So, yeah.
But what else can you do? And threaten them, saying if you influence votes, you know, we'll go to our legal system.
Well, and what do they say? You'd think, you know, that one thing, and of course they won't do that because we have all Democrat attorney generals and many Democrat district attorneys, is you can only technically harvest 10 ballots, but they don't monitor that either. So, you know, don't pay, I guess, just, you know, truth straight up here.
That matters zero. And as a practical matter, they've gotten rid of that rule for the nursing homes. They go,
right.
well, that wouldn't be practical in this situation.
Right.
Just give us 84.
Well, and again,
Democratic
and if you think Chuck and I are just conspiracy theorists, and why are they trying so hard to do this, right? If it didn't matter, why have they made these rules? I mean, what a ridiculous thing. It'd be like saying, okay, we're going to go to, I don't know, whatever, right? And we're just going to go to the movie theater, and you tell us how many people are here, and we're going to give you, the movie theater director, those ballots, and then you just give them back to us when you're all done tonight, and we'll be back. I mean, it's ridiculous that they
maybe
do that.
Maybe they can go in and invalidate all the ballots from nursing homes in which the guardians and other ones weren't able
didn't
to
sign. And well, you're right, then go ahead and cure them, right? Hey, listen, well, we wanted to take a break, get out early. Was there anything else you wanted to talk about, or some phone calls, or?
Yeah, some phone calls. We'll go for a couple minutes here.
Okay, because we have to get off early today at 10 minutes till the top of the hour. We have parent teacher conferences. They're doing them remotely, but we have to go to a parent teacher conference. You know, that reminds me of one thing.
That's sad.
Well, I don't, although what's sad is my ability to figure out how to do the remote parent teacher conference. But that's where you have Rev there. What is interesting though, that reminded me, I was having a conversation with another friend of mine. We need to open the economy. This poor woman is so stressed. Her daughter's in school, but her school yet, because it's so confusing because it's in Denver, right? The aftercare school program. So she's trying to decide, do I hire a nanny? Well, let me finish. She can't leave her job early because that costs her thousands and thousands of dollars. And she's like, and nobody knows anything. She said, the school can't tell me. The governor, she said, as soon as they do one thing, they change it.
It's all going to change November 4th.
Well,
I mean, after the Democrats, after the election.
See, I'm not. What if Trump wins? I mean, for now they're saying it's going to be years before we even know who won. So I think they need to open it, right?
You think this clown of a governor and a clown of a mayor give a darn about all these small businesses, all the people who work? I mean, how much more do you need to know how little your government cares for you? They don't care.
No.
They don't care. If they're under Democratic control, you think they care in Michigan?
No.
In Illinois?
Do you think they care about our piddly little daycare and making a living?
They steal elections. They lie. They cheat. They do everything else in the world. I mean, they're disgusting. And that includes our wonderful governor. What a slime ball.
Yeah.
He's closed down our economy for nothing. We have one person a week one person a day who died somehow related to COVID. I mean, he had COVID, and then, you know, a month later, he died of a gunshot wound. I mean, there's no reason for Colorado's economy to be shut down. There's no reason why bars and restaurants can't be open at 2 a.m.
We were at a restaurant Friday night, and the poor place, I felt sorry for them. It was a small restaurant, right? And since they can only have whatever 50% capacity, they've been able to be outside, so they've had essentially the full set. But it was cold, 7 o'clock at night. Yeah. It was cold, and they were like, "We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know what they're going to do. They have to open it," because they were like, "We can't make it if we have to go back to 50%." But on the plus side, President Trump going home from the hospital today.
He'll be home. He'll be leaving that hospital in an hour and 12 minutes. And I'm going to
the Democrats' heads are going to explode. That's kind of worth watching to watch how crazy they get. And so don't believe their nonsense. Listen to us, true straight up. Hey, thank you to Brian Junedep. Thank you to Joanne Winholtz. Thank you to Mark and Leo and everybody listening on Zoom who's listening to our podcast. We love it when you do that. Just go to chuckandjulie.com. We have the links there to all of the podcasts. And especially thank you to Thomas and the guys at BBS.
Yeah, they're great. The brothers and the next generation.
There you go. We'll see you all on Wednesday. Have a great couple of days.